How's everything else going, David? Like, have you seen? Not maybe not. Maybe, we'll save movies for later. But what else have you doing? Activities or anything like that?
Activity-wise, it's probably just.
Don't mind me.
He's currently going underneath the table, probably pulling out something, something I don't want to see. But
I'm just kidding.
It's fine. I'm screwing with you. Activities-wise, it's just parties and hanging out with friends and stuff.
Game Guild's still going?
Yeah, it's still going on. I swear to God, anything I touch at Ball and Wallace, that anything I'm touch with, that I'm like involved with on like a turn in terms of being involved as like a president or a treasurer or something like that, It just burns to ash, because that's what happened with Anime Club and that's not what happened with Film Society.
Hopefully that doesn't happen with this show.
I didn't think of that.
Somewhere deep inside Transition Studios, brought to you by your hosts, Roger and Leto. Welcome to Sci-Fi
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Roger. Oh, right, Leto's not here this week. Instead, joining me is, do you want to introduce yourself, good sir?
Hi, I'm a random stranger that Roger pulled off the street, and Leto's using this as a giant plan to make a bunch of money off of unpaid labor. Oh, my name's David. I went to school with Roger.
Yeah, David and me kind of go way back. How long was it ago we met? Was it like,
I feel like
it was 6 years.
Yeah, it was before the pandemic, and It was in some random editing lab that we were taking our directing, or was it editing? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was editing. I think we were working on editing projects.
Yeah.
Or it was definitely a Dwayne class, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were just like the only two there. We were waiting for class to start. Then we just like started talking and
about the most random things. I don't remember exactly what we talked about, but
maybe Red Letter Media.
Yeah,
I know.
Of course,
I know we talked about the. I know we talked about them once in a while. I don't know if they were what got us talking. I think I can't remember specifically.
Something did come up where I said that the only good thing what Max Landis, the guy who wrote Chronicle, basically amounted to was him saying to Rich Evans, "There is no God for you now," as Rich Evans had his first shot of explaining the Neil Breen film, which, by the way, to all of those Sci-Fi Rewind people out there, if you want a trip, if you want to feel like you're on the moon when you haven't even taken an ounce or anything of LSD, watch a Neil Breen film.
I've been teasing Leto about Neil Breen for a while.
God.
I've been teasing him. I go going like, one of these days, I'm going to show you that. I mean, it'll be a time where he doesn't expect it. Hopefully, we'll get back to it. We'll get back to the me, him, guest schedule instead of just me, him, guests for unforeseeable future. If we get onto that, I'll probably get on that schedule eventually, but I think it's best not knowing who Neil Breen is or what he does.
He's like Voldemort. We don't say his name.
the filmmaker who must not be known.
Because if you say it, he'll pop up. You'll randomly get shot, he'll say, "I can't believe you committed suicide." Oh God, that's
he's like the Bye Bye Man. The more you think about him, the more.
By the way, that terrible movie that everybody in the audience probably remembers seeing a little bit, saying, "Oh, it kind of looks like Slender Man," and then never seeing it. That was filmed at our campus.
Yep. Yeah.
Of all the films to be filmed. We have great claims, by the way. We have great claims. Like, the dude who directed one of the Creed movies. Mm-hmm. He came from our campus.
He's going to be directing a Transformers movie.
Yeah. We got some good cred. But, of course, we have to be connected to...
was Sterling K. Brown... It was some actor who went to Ball and Wallace, right?
Yeah, I think he went to Ball and Wallace, or at least he visited us. Mm-hmm. It was like freshman year of
I have been surrounded by CSU people for the longest time. This is just a good chance for me to catch up on Ball and Wallace stuff. This is the only guy around here who I'll ever probably know who I could talk to about Ball and Wallace, and it was just like, oh, he'll get it. So we're just catching up, going down memory lane here. But if we can get on here, we are here to talk about a thoughtful work of art known as Red Dead Redemption 2, and we're going to go full in depth. I know it's not sci-fi, but you know what? Leto's not here, and we're just going to look at this project, this intellectual property, and that's what we're talking about, right, David?
Roger, who would win, Doomslayer or the Blob?
You know what? Doomslayer.
How? I think this would be the one thing that he couldn't beat.
For those of you who are who haven't looked at the title, no, we're not talking about Red Dead Redemption 2. That is a joke.
Unfortunately, I didn't play the game, so that's why I'm... Oh, it would transitioning to this crap.
It would take forever, but what we are actually talking about is what year? We are talking about The Stuff.
Released in 1985.
Mm-hmm. Released in 1985.
Good old David Lee Roth quit Van Halen. What else happened? Clint Eastwood was releasing his 50th goddamn Western. What else?
Batman had just come out the year before, right? Oh, no, 89.
Batman was 89, and what else was happening in 85? Music-wise. I don't know. Oh, how could I forget? 2 years earlier, Star Wars had, quote, ended. And it was simpler times back then. Very simpler times.
The worst thing we had in Star Wars was Ewoks, but little did we know what was coming.
Yes, and the reason why I bring up Return of the Jedi is because if you were looking in the background of that one scene where the kid was, scooping the stuff down the toilet, he had Return of the Jedi shower curtains in his own personal bathroom and Motley Crue up on the wall, so you know it's the 80s.
Well, before we get into too many details and everything, we got a segment sheet to follow, but... to the folks out there, me and Leto have decided before he left for vacation... we're going to change the segment sheet up just a little bit. Instead of doing a pitch meeting, we're going to do more so an elevator pitch meeting. It'll just be a brief summary, the briefest, like, 1-2 sentences. And, this movie meets this movie. That's what we'll try and do with that. And instead of just a bunch of trivia... that we throw whatever trivia we can find. We're just going to do one piece of trivia from the both of us. And aside from that, everything will remain unchanged. And David, do you want to do your just quick elevator pitch?
I only need 6 words.
Okay.
The Blob, if it was edible. 6 words, I think.
You're saying the Blob... What would you say, like, would be an example of this movie meets this movie makes...
Oh, okay.
You did good with that one, by the way, the sentence. That's good.
Thank you. Obviously, well, ironically enough, this came, I think, 3 years before The Blob's remake, but it would be Blob meets what other big, like, making fun of capitalism movies were around this time, because there were plenty. Oh, wait, what am I talking about? But even then, it was... Great, now I got to get on my phone and look up when They Live came out.
Actually, that was, yeah, it was somewhere in the 80s.
Yeah, I think it was
88.
Ironically enough, releasing the same year as the Blob remake, it's definitely, this is 3 years before both of those films came out, there was one that just put the two together and made fun of all the rampant capitalism of the 80s in the form of this delicious treat that a couple miners found and thought, like, I get it why they took a taste of it. That when you see oil bubbling up from the ground, you want to make sure that it's oil, so you taste it. And if it tastes like absolute, I'm going to use my one swear card for this. If it tastes like ass, then it's going to be like, oh, yeah, this is oil. We struck black gold. But in this case, the movie's racist, and they struck white gold. And they're like, this is actually really good. Let's see if we can sell it to people. That is quite possibly the worst thing they could ever have done.
So you're saying it's The Blob meets They Live. I would also throw in Super Size Me.
Oh, hell yeah. Yes, definitely.
Just got to keep eating. Just got to keep eating.
Yeah. We don't sleep anymore now, Roger. Not now that we have this. That's the creepiest scene in the movie. It's like the creepiest goddamn scene in the movie.
This is the scene where they're trying to force him to eat it, his family?
Yeah. In the beginning of the movie, we see this kid. What was his name?
Jason.
Jason, thank you. I have a giant notebook full of notes.
Oh, yeah.
Right on here.
I have a good section of notes on my laptop here as well.
But Jason is this average kid who lives in, like, typical 80s suburbia. But his family is slowly getting more and more addicted to it. And one night when he was opening up the fridge, he saw the stuff move. And he knows now that it's really evil. It's not just, oh, his family's, like, eating a whole bunch of it. No, this stuff is taking over their minds, and he can't seem to warn them until it's too late. And I'm guessing, given, like, how the other people made up of stuff are, I'm guessing that it's kind of the same deal where there's...
Don't be afraid to spoil the film. We're talking full spoilers here.
Okay, sure. I don't exactly know how the stuff works. That's a flaw with the film.
I'd say it's creepy.
Yeah.
I'd say it adds to a creep factor.
Well, it doesn't work in a hive mind sort of way.
I don't think it acts in a hive mind kind of way. I think it acts more like it just... it's more like... The more the blob expands, the more, like, individual it can kind of get.
Well, yeah, but at least the blob kind of works as its own thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think if you... Well, there is that thing at the end of the Blob movie remake where you see a little tiny bit of it and it's still wiggling around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I always saw the Blob as just one giant thinking entity that's just one thing.
While the
stuff is individual because it can infest different humans and then come out to form one giant...
I think you could describe it kind of like a worm. You know what I mean? Where it's like you cut a worm in two and suddenly it's like it's become two different entities.
Damn, I didn't know that. That's how worms worked.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they start wriggling around, and then it evolves, and it becomes its own. They become two. You know, it's like It's almost like a virus. You could almost look at it as like.
Yeah.
I mean, like AIDS was.
Oh yeah. Damn. Larry Cohen, the guy who wrote this film, is a cult legend.
Yeah, yeah. He's like a cult legend.
Where he has movies like Cue the Winged Serpent. He directed a few Columbo episodes and just basically did a bunch of cool stuff throughout his career that
Now that you say Columbo, like Mo now kind of makes a bit more sense. The character of Mo now makes a bit more sense.
Yeah.
This kind of wacky guy
who's a lot smarter than you give him credit for and also has the best comebacks in the world. Yeah. And it's like, I put this...
But before you get into that...
Yeah.
We just did the elevator pitch. We can now move on to our history of the IP and nostalgia we've had. If you just want to, like, talk about your nostalgia and your history with it and your...
You start with your nostalgia, because if I get into mine, it's going to be, like, some wacky story. So start with yours.
Okay, I'll start. You recommended this film to me, not before doing... Not first Sci-Fi Rewind. You've recommended this to me before, I believe. I'm pretty sure you recommended it to me like a couple years back or something. And you said, oh, go watch this. And I never got around to it. I was just like, I don't know if I'm necessarily in the mood for this film. I'm not against watching it. I'm just not in the mood for it. That's my nostalgia of it. If you want to talk about...
All right. Mine goes back. I'm not too proud of this, and I'm not trying to throw shade. Do not harass these people, disclaimer, all that good stuff that YouTubers put at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I got this film recommended to me by Movie Bob. He's not the biggest a-hole on the internet, but he's definitely kind of in there with the whole thinks he's better than everyone else crowd. And
there are definitely worse people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Movie Bob just kind of comes off as stuck up.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the worst person in the world, but...
But damn, does he know a good movie. He not only recommended this, but Equilibrium, another sci-fi movie that you could look into, starring Christian Bale. But this was really interesting to me because he talked about it at length with its deconstruction of 80s pop culture, making fun of over-conservatism and being like a remake of The Blob before the remake of The Blob was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found it really interesting to the point that I eventually found it. And the funniest thing is that I think I either rewatched it for the first time in a while, or watched it for the first time with a friend of mine who's like the son of one of my mother's friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a couple years younger than me. I think it was like 13 at the time. He was just getting into films. I babysat him a lot when I was in high school, and then now I see him every once in a while. But I showed this to him. It was like one of his first R-rated films. And he and I were glued to the screen, just laughing at like the practical effects and the deconstruction and of 80s crap. And it was really funny when my mom got home and she sees this horrific, like, she walked in on Garrett Morris, that's his name, right, from SNL?
Yes, yes,
she
yes.
walked in on that scene, and she's like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah. And do you want to kind of move into your initial thoughts of it?
Yeah, the movie's great. I wrote this down in one of my notes. Sorry, I'm pulling a Marco Rubio and taking
ahead.
A sip of my water. It reminded me a lot of Resident Evil, where you have this mystery company that's secretly producing something horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You got the infiltrator, Mo Rutherford, a.k.a. Leon Kennedy, who is... ironically enough, FBI, or work mm-hmm. with the government. I don't know who what's the love interests would be Resident Evil character-wise. Jason is definitely Shirley Birkin. Definitely.
She could kind of be a Claire.
Claire at the end of Resident Evil 2 is filling William Birkin full of...
She's gone full Ellen
Ripley. Full caliber minigun bullets.
Yeah, by that time, she's gone full Ellen Ripley.
And even though this love interest does have her moments, like fighting off that one dude who I swear was the dude in the post office scene who was, like, attacking her, and then they run over.
I think it was.
Yeah. Even though she kills him, and she also burns the thing off of Mo's face, which is definitely a badass way of like, yeah, you could burn him to death, but it's worth the risk, especially now. Even though she has her badass moments, definitely towards the end, she's a damsel in distress, which is sad because.
I mean, I would be screaming for my life in her scenario.
Yeah,
it's just like this guy's like. Opening his mouth to an ungodly size.
Yeah.
And just like stuff is coming out. And it's just like, oh my God, yeah, I would be in her shoes. I wouldn't. Like, I did not see the Charlie twist coming. I felt like something was off, but then Charlie just opens his mouth and you go like, oh no.
Yeah. No, Mo is unreasonably calm. Like, you have moments where he's genuinely scared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think when he's talking to the guy with the dog, he's kind of scared. It's like, oh, I was going to go ahead and get a black glass of water, but now I think I'm fine. But aside from that, he's unnaturally calm. Like, even the alt-right conservative guy who helps him at the end is a little bit scared because he's just like, Jesus, I kind of like the sign of blood, but this is disgusting.
No. I got the quote here. He says, I kind of like the sight of blood, but this is disgusting.
At the end of the film, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and they team up with dudes out in the middle of nowhere. It's interesting.
Military dudes out in the middle of nowhere, not just random dudes.
Yeah. It's not like some, yeah, we got guns, we're going to get on that. No, they view them as like once the government falls to those liberals, we're going to come in and save the day. And ironically enough, that kind of does happen, except it's not anything to do with like Democrats or anything. It's just a corporate America, which they too can probably get alongside of, because corporate America is ruining our nice ways. We just want to grill, for God's sake. We don't want them coming in and taking away our they took our jibs. Freaking South Park.
So is that it for your initial thoughts? Do you have anything else?
Yeah, it's a really fun movie. There's so many great practical effects.
Yeah.
And the story is, like I said, Resident Evil, like before Resident Evil was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
I enjoyed this film. I had fun with it.
Great.
I don't know I'm not sure if my first reaction to finding some weird like white stuff that's like pulsing on the ground, I don't know if my first reaction would be to eat it. I guess I get what you mean by the oil. Just part of me is going like, I don't know about this. I like how the film doesn't waste any time with the beginning. It's just like
the
movie opens basically, and it's just like, oh hey, here's some stuff.
It's like, moving.
Like there's no like panning shot to reveal anything. There's no like.
There just kind of is.
No. It's just like a flat shot of this guy coming into the scene and just going like, hey, there's some stuff here.
Yeah.
What is it?
It opens on a cocaine factory, Brandon Tennell, to check him out.
Mm-hmm.
After that opening scene where it's just like, the lighting in that scene is great.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If there's not really good cinematography, there's really good lighting.
Imagine.
And the best scene in the movie combines both of them, with the family forcing poor Jason to eat this. And the lighting and cinematography are great there.
Imagine if he like never saw the pulsing stuff, if he never like noticed it, and he just fell in, and he just like
that would be a great what if.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I was really laughing that much. I love the moment when Mo goes to the house with the dog, and I wrote it down.
Why is your master so afraid of you?
Mo is doing a great job of being weirded out yet remaining calm. Going to the house.
Again, Leon Kennedy.
Oh, yeah. No, he just kind of goes in. And it's just like, he has this great, like, the hell? Not even, like, scared. It's more like, it's like a weirded out, but you'll still be smiling, going like, the hell is this? This is, okay. All right. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff here. I wasn't really, like, laughing all that much. Although I didn't acknowledge it more as a comedy rather than a horror movie. I mean, there's still some creepy stuff.
Here's my little bit of trivia.
Oh no! Save that for that bit.
All right.
But I think I was full on laughing when Military Man Spear shows up. almost every line that comes out of his mouth, it's like for those who have played Red Dead Redemption 2, this guy is like Herbert Moon. I don't know if are you familiar with Herbert Moon?
No, I don't know much about Red Dead Redemption 2. I know plenty about Red Dead Redemption 1, but
No. Red Dead Redemption 1, Herbert Moon is a shop owner, and he's like the most racist person out of any character you'll ever see. He's like racist against everyone.
Including white people.
Oh, yeah, including white people. You have to be he's like H.P. Lovecraft racist, where you have to be a specific type of white for him to like. But this guy, he's just constantly, he's like misogynistic, he's racist, He's anti-liberal. He's just like the purest form of racist, and he has like so many lines that made me laugh. I will permit this colored man to speak.
Oh God.
He truly is the worst person alive. Only giving him permission to speak after realizing he can make a buck letting Chocolate Chip Charlie on.
Yeah. But this character is so fun in the fact that despite his kind of hatred towards
everyone,
he's willing to work with them, willing to give them his resources, and just has genuinely nice moments where...
There's that moment where he's on the radio.
Yeah.
And he goes like, I have never misled you, and I will never mislead you. I am certain he has misled people, and he will continue to mislead people.
Yeah, but now he's 100% truthful and has people to back him up. Cite your damn sources.
I mean, he's probably going to blame the communists or the liberals or the queers. He'll probably make some stuff up. But he's definitely in the right of saying this stuff is very bad.
Are there any queers in the theater tonight? Get up on my castle wall!
I took note of this. Is it really this hard to find out what food is made of? Will the FDA be the end of us all? Like,
yes, it will be. They allowed McDonald's to get away with pink paste for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I think it would be easy for how I see events happening, and would be even more horrifying to see it. Is that you take one bite of this stuff and either you're kind of resistant to it, or you're and you're like, yeah, that's tasty, but I'll have it some other time, or you're immediately hooked to it immediately. And sadly, enough people were hooked to it immediately that they started eating.
I don't think they have enough talk about resistance. I think they mentioned something at some point, but
Mo, played by Michael Moriarty, brings it up, and. It's interesting, but yeah, that's, I don't know if we're on the flaws yet.
Oh,
but
no. We'll what's next up is our interpretations, but I think we haven't gone into full detail, but so our initial thoughts. Very funny film, worth a watch. I had fun with it. This is probably... It must be disgusting to eat shaving cream.
Yeah, no, there's that one funny scene that always kind of grossed me out in Jurassic Park where Dennis from Seinfeld is getting that can of Barbasol that's secretly that transporter for the dinosaur specimen.
Yeah.
And he pours out a little bit of shaving cream, and then he wants to make sure he gets rid of it, so he puts it on a piece of pie nearby, which is a nice little Spielberg, let's just pan over, and he gets rid of it in some creative way. Or who knows, maybe Michael Crichton, who took a lot of interest in his own films at the time, probably put that in there as a nice little character detail. I don't know. But I've always wondered what the customer's reaction would be to that, eating shaving cream, of all things.
I got one more thing. Two more things, kind of. But I describe Spear is absolutely in love with himself, describing himself as the best in everything at school. Remember that one?
I was the most handsome person. I was the most handsome to all this. I don't know why women wouldn't go for me.
And also, the 1 hour, 12 minute, 36 second mark. I'm pretty sure there are at least two troopers looking directly at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like...
Mm-hmm. There are.
I don't think they can help it, because he's... the way Spear is presented is just kind of at a point where it's just like, they kind of have to look at the camera, but it's just like, come on, man. You can put the camera somewhere else.
Well, here's the sad thing... Sad fact of the movie that even Larry Cohen and all his talented low-budget filmmaking can't help. It's the fact that you don't probably have the best money to get really talented extras straight out of art school. Being like,
I feel like this adds some charm to it. This movie, it very much is. Let's just go make a movie. Let's not put any BS. Let's not have any BS involved. Let's just make a movie we want to make.
I'll give them credit. There's an old saying with this triangle that's you can either make a movie cheap and quick, but it won't be good, or you can make a movie good and quick, but it won't be cheap. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, it goes on. I think this is a rare case of a movie that's actually right at the center. It doesn't mean it doesn't have its flaws, but it was made quickly. It was cheap. It was cheap, only $1.7 million, and it was good. It's good. Mm-hmm. Like, I can make fun of the green screen scenes all day.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, that's something I thought.
That's inexcusable. It's good when the stuff comes out and it squishes those two guys when it comes out of the factory.
That one was a decent looking one.
But, oh, boy.
But, like, that scene in the container when Jason is in the little container or the big container.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, God.
Gamera,
no.
Please come help me. but no. And they were doing it pretty good with. Jason and the love interest, they get lost, mm-hmm. and the stuff is coming after them, and it's really good use of, like, I could see that there were repeating special effects or repeated footage of the stuff moving in, but it looked really convincing, and then just cut to a few more scenes of them running away and it going down hallways, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's best when both the stuff and the actors are in the same spot. That one scene when they're, like, when Jason and the woman are in the containers, when the stuff is coming into the room and they have to travel from container to container, or cart.
That's what I was talking about.
From cart to cart. And it's just like, yeah, that looks really good. There might be a little bit of green screen or blue screen involved, but for the most part, it really looks like it looks pretty good. But yeah, that's something you need to keep in mind. There's going to be some bad green screen involved. Do you want to move on to interpretation of the film?
Interpretation. What would be your interpretation of this film in that case?
I mean, it's definitely a in the vein of They Live. It's a criticism of capitalism.
Yeah. I showed a real quick off tangent. I showed a friend of mine They Live completely mm-hmm. blind. She didn't know a thing about it. Mm-hmm. So when the aliens were revealed, she literally screamed.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're creepy. They are creepy looking.
But yeah, just that scene where she's seeing the image, like the buy, sell, reproduce stuff. She's just like, I wish you guys could see my face or facial reactions. But yeah, it's great.
Yeah, yeah, he's just
anyway,
like,
moving on back to this stuff.
Interpretation of the IP. Definitely anti-capitalist, not anti-capitalist. It is a criticism.
We need capitalism as much as we need decent healthcare and decent treatment of people regardless of race or gender or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But in the 80s, when capitalism was absolute king and those other two things that I mentioned were an afterthought, this is like the best way you can make fun of it, an alien species that is rising up from the ground, threatening to consume us all, and yet everyone's too distracted by how good it tastes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, there will probably be people selling you products that aren't good for you, but they might be able to benefit off of it. Like the guy who's in charge of the stuff or the brand. And mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, I don't try it, but I sell it off to other people. I don't try it because it's probably not good for my health.
Yeah.
He gets his just desserts.
Oh, the
at
ending.
The end.
The ending is so good. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, I might as well spoil this a little bit. But basically, they corner him and one other guy. I'll leave that to your imagination. Mm-hmm. But they corner him and this other guy that he's like working with, and they're about to be on his way. They think Mo, he's fine. He worked mm-hmm. for them. And he's and it's just like, yeah, go ahead. I took your bribe money. Mo's not exactly the best person in the world. He takes bribe monies. He threatens to kill people.
Oh,
but
he doesn't say it with, like, sadness in his voice. He's like, oh, yeah, no, I spent it.
Yeah.
He got full use out of that money, and he does not regret it one bit.
To be fair, he probably spent it on his girlfriend and Jason.
Yeah.
So.
He's gonna look after them, I imagine.
And the best part is like I brought two friends with me, and then Jason walks in with stuff, and he's just like, this isn't right, a good place for kids. And it's like, yeah, you're right. That's why I brought him with me too. Pulls out a gun, and it's just like, you're gonna eat this. And it's just and it's at that moment when Michael Moriarty plays just this wacky dude who sometimes can be really serious sometimes, but other most of the times he's just charming. Here, I was genuinely scared of him. Like, yeah. Jesus, if I was in this situation, I think I'd f*** myself because I know that what this stuff, no pun intended, could do to me.
Would you eat or would you just take the bullet?
I think I'd take the bullet. I don't want myself to become one of these things.
Especially
where if you punch me in the jaw, my entire face just comes off and there's stuff coming out of it. Or chocolate chipotle hits a hole in me and it starts going out.
But there are those moments where, like, people get their skulls caved in and there's barely anything in. There's barely anything in there. And it just
go like,
yeah, I'd probably just prefer the bullet because that way my body won't get.
Your bones are gone.
Mm-hmm.
This your bones, and there's like one dude in the back who's like, and I think that was like some extra. I didn't know if he was fully dead or fully all that. But there was that one scene with the post office dude who kind of had a little more stuff in, and probably just to keep him alive to have this be a vessel so he could come back later. I think that guy was kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this movie might have some cannibalistic?
Yes.
Themes to it.
Yes, definitely.
Because like I feel like the stuff is reliant on humans to expand, and so when you eat it, you're kind of like eating part human. Like you said, I don't quite know how this stuff works, but
me neither.
But it's very creepy to kind of think about just like exactly how this works. And yeah, I think I even mentioned it a little bit. There's probably some themes of. Like the AIDS movement was probably around this time. You know, people are afraid. You know, it's like things spreading. This kind of is like a virus. It's just it's an edible virus that just keeps going and going and moving on to new territory.
No, that's the most interesting part because I thought about if this movie was made today.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would still be white guy. You could make him black. I could see Mo being black. Or Asian or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
But especially with a name like Mo, you gotta have it be like I'm an American type of deal. But how would like people of today react to this stuff with all our because the 80s were pretty linear with our politics. You were either basking in the glory of being the middle or upper class, mm-hmm. or you were like, I'm standing up for the average man who's not getting enough and stuff like this. Nowadays, it's all over the place. You can be a little bit right-leaning but still say F Trump. You can be a little bit left-leaning and say I'm sick of PC culture.
Yeah.
You can be anything. And I think this leads perfectly into my Chew Miss Potential stuff. You could have this be kind of the end of the blob where it's just one giant entity. You see people eating the stuff casually as Mo and his girlfriend are talking about the stuff basically consuming everybody. It would be so cool to see a stuff monster raiding New York. I know they didn't have it in the budget.
I was actually surprised. Like they got the stuff under control after just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like,
I'm surprised everyone believed it.
Of course you would. Why would you listen to the government military man? I mean, why would you ever doubt these kind of people?
Granted, he did have the advertisement. The girlfriend was like the advertisement woman who mm-hmm. made the stuff as big as it was, which leads to a great character arc where she's like, oh my God, what have I done? So much blood on my hands.
I've helped kill thousands of people. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. She's talking about like how she wants to take responsibility, and Mo's like, "Hey, don't throw your career away." But it's just like, you know, there's that one moment at the end where the broadcast is out. Oh God, I remember just like you know they're doing the radio broadcast, and it suddenly cuts to is that her on the TV?
Yeah, it's her on the TV.
And then it's just like And then we defeated the situation. And then we handled the situation.
America. Yeah.
It was just like, okay, we're done. We got that. I love that moment where, it also tackles the topic of drugs for a little bit. It mm-hmm. becomes addicting and you can't stop yourself mm-hmm. as seen in the final and final scene in the film where
all those guys, the way
now the stuff has now become like a back alley drug.
The way not only that, but the way that the people move. Mm-hmm. That was a great little detail. When you're addicted to stuff, you sort of become robotic. You're like the body snatchers where mm-hmm. you don't exactly know how to move until you're in front of somebody in which you act as natural as possible. But the woman who goes to the fridge, she's like got her hands in like claw motions. The family, they're like they're like limp when they're chasing after that.
Very creepy.
Yeah.
It's especially creepy from Jason's perspective, how every single one of his family are like trying to get him to eat it. And they're I felt so bad for Jason when he had to start eating the shaving cream.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know if I'd have the strength to do that.
I could do it. It's as simple as you don't have to eat too much of it. You can just say, I finally enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It's actually really, really good.
Yeah.
I'm not fully one of you guys yet, but I'll become one of you.
Yeah. Did you notice that the movie seemed a little dubbed at the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another problem with this movie, you can definitely see the RDA when you would come into the studio, like where we're at, and then we're talking and trying to put in our lines.
I'm sorry. I don't think we ever got... What are your interpretations of the film?
Oh, basically what you just said.
Okay.
We can just skip over that part because it's... I mainly just want to talk about the flaws and the pros of this movie.
Okay,
the pros
we'll be getting to that soon. Do you have an interesting fact or anything worth mentioning?
Sadly, this movie didn't do as well as people expected. I don't know if it was a flop. With the budget so low...
This is around
that
time.
You'd think that they make their money back. I mean, even if Halloween 3 didn't get as good scores or as good public reception as it originally did, it still made its money back, and it still was considered a box office success.
I wish I could see... Like, I'm trying to find...
I couldn't find it.
Yeah, because this is around that time where you need... I know Red Letter Media has talked about... movies these days need to double their budget, need to make double their, budget.
Yeah,
so
double their budget.
But as Sean Reck once pointed out, that's not always the case. Sometimes you might need to triple your budget.
Well, that goes,
you need to make triple of your budget.
That goes for films like... Mm. From the MCU or Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Big, big, big movies.
That I can understand... But it has that star power behind it. Mm-hmm. A film like this being released today could easily make its money back because if a movie like Moonfall, despite having $140 million behind it, but still be able to kick out $40 million just by people just being interested on its own, I think that if you'd use the budget like that today, I think you could get up to that.
Or have it go to Netflix.
Netflix would...
This movie probably would have killed if Netflix was a thing back
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm. There'd be stuffed sequels.
But did you mention your fun fact? Or
that is my fun fact. It didn't make money back, and Larry Cohen, the director, felt that the horror angle, like mm-hmm. you saw the poster and how it's like if you see it in your home. Get rid of it now. Mm-hmm. It's actually incredibly dangerous, and if you have too much of it around, it'll start to become alive and stuff like that. And he thought that it kind of hurt the film because people thought, this is just some weird horror film that should be coming around Halloween time instead of the summer, when in reality, despite being legitimately creepy, mm-hmm. this is definitely a satire.
I saw a bit of a review from a guy called Decker Shadow, and he was reviewing the movie. It seemed like he was reviewing the movie as a horror movie, and I go like, this movie's a comedy.
It's like Resident Evil. Everyone takes it really seriously mm-hmm. for the world it's in, but we're running from dessert.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this stuff has been packaged to look like ice cream.
Ice cream mixed with flan.
A pagoda of flan, yeah. Abe Vigoda and the Where's the Beef lady are in this movie in a commercial. They really go all out with the
where's
whole...
Where's the staff?
They really go out with the whole advertisement method. If you put some of these commercials on TV as their own separate stuff, separate entities, holy crap, this crap would sell.
I think my one story that I just found out, not via like any trivia or anything, I just kind of found out by like casting. So Jason is played by Scott Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about Scott Bloom. I can't really talk about his career.
Every child actor kind of looks similar.
But I actually took more interest in the person who plays his brother. He is Jason's real life brother, Brian Bloom.
Cool.
And Brian Bloom is a well-known voice actor.
Who do you voice?
Maybe not the most well-known, but did you ever see the A-Team movie? A-Team. Like.
Oh, yeah, A-Team. Yeah, with Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, he was that assassin guy that kept appearing throughout the film.
It's been a while since I've seen the A-Team. A-Team, more like the C-minus team, but it's still watchable.
He was that guy that B.A. like killed at the end when it's like B.A. was like, I've come out of my pacifism life and I'm going back to murdering people.
Oh, the Mr. T's character played by that other guy.
Yeah,
that guy, right? Yeah, cool.
He's like the assassin guy. He's like the main threat. Not the main threat, but he's like the main like
second right hand or whatever.
Kind of like yeah. But Brian Bloom he was in the one of the newer, not the newer Call of Duties, in Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, he was the main character.
Ouch.
Infinite Warfare, I think it might have gotten a bad rap.
Yeah, it's. I remember the opening, and you're walking on the on Europa with Jupiter. That looked beautiful.
Yeah.
But it isn't Call of Duty. This is Halo.
I think it definitely suffers from being a Call of Duty game, but he was the main character in that, but I think most people might know him more so for BJ Blazkowicz in the new Wolfenstein games.
Cool.
Lito, if you're listening to this, yeah, he's BJ in those new games. He's done a lot of stuff, and it's kind of hard list every single thing he's done.
Nice.
But, I just found that interesting. It's like, oh. I heard Brian Bloom was in this film before watching it, and I was like, am I going to be able to tell who it is? And Brian Bloom is very distinct looking in real life. And when I saw...
Mullet.
When I saw Mo, when I saw Jason's brother character, I was like, oh my God, that is a young Brian Bloom. he's very distinct if you ever see him. But that's for our fun facts. David, how can we make this film better?
Needed a little bit of a better budget, especially with the green screen stuff. They did it really, really good with a lot of the practical effects, and like the hotel scene. The hotel scene is fantastic.
That might be the best looking scene or the most unique looking scene.
Ooh,
because just the thing like
attacking one of its own to strengthen itself or something like that.
Or it might not even realize it. Maybe it's just trying to suck. Who knows how this thing really works?
Mm-hmm.
It would
be interesting to see a scene where one of the stuffies gets to explain its side or stuff like that. We sort of do see it with the family, but I don't know. We don't exactly know its motivation. Does it really want to... Does it... Much like that... Much like that thing, the thing short story where you see it from the perspective of the thing, and it's actually a diplomat. You know, it's been talking to so many different alien races, and they're more advanced.
Did you read the story?
I didn't read all of it, but I've read the opening, and I found that incredibly interesting. This thing is just us, but it's so horrifying and alien to us. We don't exactly know. Everyone says we don't need to see this thing's perspective, and most of the time I agree. But, we don't need to see the alien's perspective. We don't need to see the predator's perspective.
Unless you want to do something neat. Unless you want to do, like, a... Because, like, if that's
Alien versus Predator kind of gets into that with her teaming up with the Predator at the end, which is mm-hmm. awesome, but at the same time, it's still stupid.
Yeah.
But
there's still a lot of stupid stuff involved with that film. As you were saying.
Yeah, green screen could be better. Editing. That's the first part of the movie is a lot better than the second part of the movie where it goes full on monster movie mode because the editing is less cut. He had to trim it down for some reason because the studio demanded it, Larry Cohen, because he wanted to get it down to 90 minutes. I think it's 87 minutes now that I think about it. And I would have loved to see just an original cut of all of the that scene from before where it's like I kind of like the sight of blood. Everyone just kind of shoots, and then it's immediately standing over it. It's like kind of jarring where it's like the editing is so quick. It's not too bad. It doesn't take away from the power of the scene, but still, if you would have like slowed it down where it's like runs over, my God, and it's just like.
I like the sight of blood.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. I just love. I love Spear at the end of this film. Like at first when you hear about it, it's like, you know, he was cheating on his wife or it's.
I missed that part.
It's like there's that moment where Mo talks about how he's been spying on the 17-year-old girl.
Oh yeah.
And it's just
that part. That's what.
Yeah, I think he mentioned something about a wife, but. I can't stress this enough. He really is the worst person alive. Like but they go so far into it that it goes up to like they take that kind of like idea of what you have as like the worst person alive and they crank it up to 11.
Well, much like this actual German general down in Africa who, Rommel is interesting, but in World War One there was some German African fighting, And despite the general being racist and anti-Semitic, the dude held on for all 4 years of World War One, mm-hmm. and I think that kind of changed his perspective on the world because you're fighting with literally anybody, Jewish, black, doesn't matter. He spoke well of his troops as they held out against British oppression, mm-hmm. so that way we can replace it with good old German oppression, but that's beside the point. And then later, I'm not joking, this guy said to Hitler when he was asked if he wanted to be the German ambassador to London, he told him to go F himself. So, a man after my own heart, kind of reformed after years of warfare and realized the world's a lot more grayer than it actually is. By all means, the street names that were named after him should be taken down for his terrible anti-Semitic stuff. But... it's interesting. It's much like that guy who did the segregation, but that guy, he was in a bad car accident, leaving him handicapped for the rest of his life, and he realized, oh my God, I've done so many terrible things. And he actually got forgiven by the black community of the state he was in. I forget, was it Georgia that he's in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He actually got forgiven by the... black community of Georgia.
Oh, wait, are we talking real life? Or
real life. These are two real life persons. The villain in Selma, who was like saying Martin Luther King is evil, he later had a later in his life epiphany and moved on. And that's what I kind of see this new character in this film as. This evil, yeah, he's comedically evil.
I don't think
worst
he'll change.
Person. He won't change, but he's seen a genuine monster and he realizes right now, regardless of his own political views.
Oh yeah, no, this thing
everybody
needs to
be stopped. America, regardless of your race or background, this stuff is coming for you. It's going to kill us all. We need to stop it right now.
Yeah, and to be fair, like I think this is one of the few times you ever see like the American public actually
listened.
Yeah, or it's just like
nowadays it would be.
It's too late. Everyone's
stuff.
Too
stuff
much.
People. Stuff people were like, we can still eat it. We don't have to listen to you.
Oh yeah, God. but I was surprised that it was only in the thousands. I could have sworn it would have been like more millions.
Millions, yeah. Yeah. I mean, sure, there's probably some people who are more resistant.
Maybe
it's not like you eat it immediately and then you're started to take over. You don't want to eat as much. You don't want to eat it at all, obviously. But if you probably ate like a taste of it, you're probably like, that's too good. Got to put it down. It's like the forbidden fruit. Don't eat too much of it.
It is kind of hard to tell just how much, because you know it's that saying enough is never enough, and
stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to say exactly just how much this thing can infect you. Like as soon as those two guys at the end started eating, they were just fully on board, and they didn't want to.
Well, they
were held at gunpoint.
They ate too much.
Yeah, this would be something interesting if you were to do a remake. It's just kind of like exploring how it affects the human body.
If I had a bigger budget, I think like the only way to convince everybody that that the stuff is evil would be to have it go full on monster mode and have it be in like New York or our hometown of Cleveland or Chicago or L.A. or some like product like here's America at and then it's like going around and everybody can see it. Everyone's recording it, and they realize and one last thing. This is like the most missed opportunity for a Mortal Kombat kill. You push a dude into this stuff, and the stuff is like getting inside of his stuff, and then
starts coming out his eyes.
Yeah, and then
or
and
his
it
ear.
Explodes.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, that would be neat.
Yeah,
too
Mortal
much.
Kombat fatality. It would be perfect.
He starts like puffing up a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Ooh, Shao Kahn suffering that fate.
Or the guy in did you ever see Big Trouble in Little China?
No, I have not yet.
There's this one scene in that where a guy just like starts puffing up like a puffer fish.
Oh yeah, like that.
And then he blows up. And
is it gory or is it like James Bond? Because something happens to like,
oh no,
that
he,
in James
he,
Bond.
It's cartoonish how like puffed up he gets. I'll have to try and show you a picture of it sometime soon. But I think it's not like there's like bits and pieces flying when he explodes. But I don't think it's like I don't think it's like horribly gory. I think it might be green.
Yeah. No, the funniest thing is that the only real thing I ever know of from Big Trouble in Little China outside of the great Kurt Russell moments is whenever I refer to like a problem with like a discussion having online, to quote one of our favorite YouTubers, Critical Drinker, a nice discussion was had by all. And then just everyone starts screaming and then just starts fighting each other and stuff like that. And it's just like, yeah, that's how it usually goes.
I think you might have talked about what I would want to fix. Do you have anything else you want to fix?
What the hell is that video game console in the background? Is that a ColecoVision or an Atari or something like that?
I
know the brother is playing on.
Oh,
Aside from that, I don't think I have anything.
I noticed one thing. It's that scene when they, you know, enter where the military enters the. Or is this the National Guard? This would be the National Guard, wouldn't it?
Where?
Spear and his men.
Oh right. No, it's probably National Guard went rogue. Probably broke off or something. Oops. Sorry about that.
Oh no. Go ahead.
No, I accidentally.
Swore. Oh, it'll be all right. I'll just censor it.
Okay.
They enter the factory and all the people are like on the ground. You could see one guy's like breathing. And
yeah,
like,
I mentioned that.
That's like that's cute. He tried to breathe, but he tried to fake like he was standing still, but he just couldn't quite do it.
Yeah, there's two degrees of insulting when it comes to like fake supposed to be dead bodies not moving. One is in Fellowship of the Ring, where after Aragorn decapitates that orc dude, he's running to Boromir, and you can see one dude kind of go like, and I think it was because Aragorn Viggo Mortensen accidentally stepped on him or something like that, and he's like or something like that. But it's so frantic that you don't see it until you're watching the movie over and over again.
Or like when Carl Urban's character, when they first meet him, and they're like, you know, it's like we left none alive, and they start riding off. When he gets on his horse and the camera pans up, you could see his sword falls down on the floor, and it's funny things. This is what I like about filmmaking. Just all these like details you've never noticed first time around, but mm-hmm. it's just like it's like the scene in Back to the Future 3, when Doc and his wife and his two children, you know, they arrive in the present with their new time traveling train, and you could just see one of the, you know, it's like this touchy scene. It's just like, ah, we're gonna go do our own thing. Good luck to you, Marty. But you could see, like, as he's giving the speech, one of his sons is like poking down, like near his, it's just like rubbing his like thigh or something. And it's just like, what is going on right there? Do you not know what I'm talking about?
Kinda. Go ahead.
One of his little sons is just like rubbing, like
rubbing like, his thigh. Yeah.
Yeah. It is just like the way he's doing it. It's kind of like he's like looking off at something. It's not. It's like he's, you know, normally you'd want a kid just kind of acting normally, not doing anything. But the way this kid is doing it, it's just so weird.
That's just how kids act or whatever.
Oh no! I'll show you. I'll show you after we're done here. But yeah. It's just this fun little thing.
And then the second degree of like where it's cute when it's just like, oh, I caught that little detail. Mm-hmm. The second is where it's just downright insulting. There's this terrible movie called Alone in the Dark based off the video game of the same name,
yeah.
Directed by the infamous Uwe Boll. And they're walking through this cave after they like shot down some demons and some of the people got killed. And before the scene cuts, it's blatantly obvious a woman just moves her head right back up.
Or in the, what was it, Transformers Age of Extinction? There's this one scene when
I just watched Transformers 5.
I'm sorry. There's this one scene in Transformers Age of Extinction where they're at like a computer monitor in the back of a truck.
Yeah.
And you can clearly see like there are all these like little screens, you know, all these little screens, but some of them are green because they didn't include all of the, because someone clearly forgot to add in like, you know,
the special effects.
Yeah, the video footage. It's like they were supposed to put it in there, but they never put it in there. It's just like, it's there forever now.
For the record, I have not seen a single Transformers movie outside the first one. I was just quoting Doug Walker when he was riffing on a Mickey Mouse cartoon. A bunch of skeletons come out of a closet, and they're just like, just watched the Transformers movies.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. So you don't have anything else to say about fixing?
No, I don't. I think this film, aside from the special effects change, better editing, and maybe a few missed potentials, this film's pretty good. 3 stars, 3.5.
I had 4. I had fun with it. It definitely has like a B movie charm. I can't quite fault it, considering, you know, it's just like probably low budget. You know, they didn't have a lot of. They didn't necessarily have like the best people in the craft working with them. They just, it's more like,
I think they had really talented people. I think Larry Cohen helped make their special effects look amazing.
Yeah,
but then you get the green screen stuff. And I think you were bringing up low budget B movies, and I think I realized something. Studios are always trying to find the next Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
The next Halloween that's barely made for anything. Halloween was made for $700,000+, and it made $40 million back.
Or the Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah.
These ones where it's just like, let's just go out into the woods and we'll have this guy like slash people, and people will jump in their seats and go, ah, and then.
But the difference between.
And then we'll make $10 million at the box office.
But the difference between Halloween and the stuff is they have genuinely talented directors or writers behind it. And Friday the 13th just got lucky.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like they just got lucky with that.
It's a movie for people who wanted to go see gore.
Yeah. They had really good gore effects. I'll give Friday the 13th that. They really took the gore effects to a whole level. But I feel like just Tom Savini was using it as practice territory so he could prepare for, important films.
You want to make Dawn of the Dead or any of those other films, and it's like, or Maniac, and it's just like, okay, I got to do some practice here. Okay, how about we have a guy get stabbed in the face? How's that going to work? Yeah. Any last thoughts, David, of the film? Things we forgot to mention?
Resident Evil. The black guy always gets it at the end for some damn reason.
I thought it was first.
Too cliche.
I thought the black guy always dies first.
Dies first or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. good dog acting from that dog. It's not the best, obviously. Yeah. Obviously, the best is The Thing, but
yep.
That.
I like how everyone, after it's revealed that Mo put a wire on that one guy's pocket,
yeah.
Everyone checked, and it's like,
And we don't know if they if it's in there, mm-hmm. or they were just too, Sorry, audience, I don't have the words to describe my feelings. Go ahead.
I just love how like amateur this movie feels. Like that one scene when Jason is destroying everything in the grocery store. I love how like
that's how a kid would do it.
The first time he does it, like you know, the first thing he froze the thing away from a kid, and he like clumsily runs into like some like product. And it's just like and it just gets back to destroying everything. There's this really like one takes out we got. Let's just go do the next thing.
I think that adds a little bit more edge to the movie because a kid would genuinely be so scared he ran into something. I don't know. I would be if I was his age and this crap was killing people.
I've got another theme. I've got another like theme that I found. This movie is very anti peer pressure.
Perfect.
Yes.
I did not think of that. Holy crap.
Yeah, this movie...
I'm an idiot.
This new trend is going out. You really need to, like, maybe check this out. Check to make sure everything is okay.
Social media in a nutshell.
Yeah. You want to try this new food? Okay, what's in it? Just eat it. I'd rather see what's in it before I decide to eat it. What if it gives me AIDS? That's another thing
AIDS.
I like... That's another thing I like about this film. I really like how this thing is. No one ever speculates where this thing came from. They never mention it. It's like maybe it came from space. They never say maybe it's some new organism. Maybe it's some military thing. It just exists, and I find that really interesting.
Yeah,
it's just like
I think it bubbled up from the Earth. I'm now thinking like Tremors, where it's just like, you think it came from space? No, maybe it's ancient. Nah, it has to be from space.
This movie
not local boys.
This movie did not care. And it's just like, we're not even going to mention that. We're just going to keep doing stuff to do gags, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
That one scene when we were introduced to Chocolate Chip Charlie, and he just he's going to do a little fight.
Yeah.
Like, punches the ground. It's just... The movie's very fun.
I feel so sad. This is a genuine, like, aw, damn, I'm sad that that character got killed because
I
he
wrote
seemed
my
like
notes.
A legitimately good guy, and it would have been cool to see him slowly start to fight before they shove the stuff down his face.
He gets screwed out of his business. I literally wrote down, no, Charlie, when he died.
Yeah.
I was so upset. I had something here. There was one moment at 20. I think it's when they're in the store, you know, and they're like going, "Hey, you seem to be the only person in town." I feel like from what I saw, I could see like a guy's hair at specifically 26 minutes for 32 seconds. I feel like I could see the top of someone's head because I feel like I saw a little bit of fuzz, like hair, and I was like, I don't know if that's right. I found it weird that all the people act like people in the commercials. I think they mentioned that. It's just like once you eat the stuff, you start acting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Were those
give in to commercialism, people?
Were those people who were in the commercial? Were they stuffies too?
Who knows?
Yeah.
I really like the marketing aspect of this film. I also like when they start destroying all the stuff at the end,
mm-hmm.
Where it's like, you know, after the broadcast has been said and they go and destroy that restaurant.
Yeah.
What is it in between?
McDonald's
and Taco Bell.
Yeah. Perfect.
I just found that funny.
Taking the fast food wars to a whole new level.
The stuff is only marginally worse than...
No, the sad thing is that McDonald's did start from humble origins the hamburger.
I'm just saying, where it's at now, David.
Yeah.
It's only marginally worse than Taco Bell and McDonald's.
Yeah.
I love how it's even back then they knew. They knew.
I feel bad for the workers who were working that day, because I had the feeling that, sadly, they weren't allowed to leave work when they were shooting that scene where they blow up that building.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not Taco Bell. It's KFC.
Yeah. Who cares? Both of them are equally the same.
Did you see a Donald Pleasance, head bust at the end? It's like once he enters the at the end when he enters the gossip the stuff's like boss, I felt like I saw a head bust of Donald Pleasance and I was like, what is that? For anyone who wants to know what I'm talking about, go to 1 hour, 20 minutes, and 4 seconds. You just see this like head bust and I thought, why is that meant to look like Donald Pleasance?
I wouldn't be surprised because in terms of low budget actors, Donald Pleasance is one of the most legendary thanks to his involvement with Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go that far. Anyway, go ahead.
I really like the advertisements. It really is that kind of like one that gets stuck in your head and you go like, I know these commercials, maybe one day I'll try this product. But they really do feel well made.
Mm-hmm.
They feel authentic. And I think that's all.
Flex stuff, the easy to put on stuff.
I mean,
bam.
I mean, I'd rather eat flex tape than the stuff, if I'm being honest.
Don't eat them. Do not ingest them in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, if given the choice, I would rather eat flex paste than like the stuff. That's probably the healthier option.
Obviously, the most easy to use stuff in a can. That's amazing. Come to me, my child.
Do you have any recommendations, like for people who want to check this out? What else is there that reminds you of this?
If you're into body horror, obviously go watch The Thing. Obviously, if you're not audience member of the show, you probably already watched it. But there's the Blob remake and the Blob original, which is corny as hell, but it's fun. It gave me nightmares as a kid. There's They Live, obviously, any movie by John Carpenter, and 80s movies that are amazing. I don't know. Any recommendations from you?
Right now, something that comes to mind is the Courage the Cowardly Dog episode. I think you...
Yeah,
I think you,
Flan.
The King of Flan. People eat this thing and they get too addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's hypnotism involved, but I mean, I feel like this kind of feels very familiar. We were actually talking about this episode recently, but so yeah, there's that episode, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, The Thing, I guess. I said earlier, I was also kind of reminded of Super Size Me.
Yeah, Super Size Me. Great. Damn.
If you ever just want to feel gross just looking at people eat, it's just like, ugh.
Yeah. Roger and I have always kind of had that feeling of, oh, are we too out of shape for our ages? We're in our 20s. And then we just look at the people in Super Size Me and we just go, ugh. America.
As for anything else I'd recommend, I can't really. I don't know if I can think of anything else at the moment. Do you have you been watching anything or playing anything as of late or reading anything that you like want to throw out there?
I don't know. I'm a fanfic writer, so I'm not exactly going to throw out what I'm doing right now. But I don't know. Excited for the Northmen, the new Roger Eggers.
Robert Eggers,
thank you. Film that's coming out. I might go see Sonic. Sonic 2. This might be Jim Carrey's last film. And video game wise, you just mentioned Red Dead Redemption. I'm excited for the new Fire Emblem Warriors game that's coming out. It's a continuation of the last game.
Okay.
So yeah, check that out if you're a fan of Claude Van. What's his name?
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Not Jean-Claude Van Damme, but Claude Von Regan from Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Claude Von Regan.
Yeah.
As for me, Yeah, thanks for reminding me about The Northman. That's a movie I gotta check out soon.
Yeah.
I want to watch. I'll throw out things I've been watching, but I want to watch the new Everything Everywhere All at Once. I think that's out, and I want to check that out. And there's a new Nick Cage movie that's coming out. the massive weight of incredible talent. I think that's what it's called. But
I just watched Moonstruck a while ago with a couple of my friends, and they were all like, "Wait, Nicolas Cage can act? It's not
wait,
just him."
What?
Moonstruck.
Are we? Oh wait, no.
That is Nicolas Cage.
That's That's not the new one, is it?
No, it's not. I got confused with Moonfall. No, Moonstruck is this movie with Cher in it. She's like this older middle-aged woman, and then Nicolas Cage is like this angry Brett Baker, but they fall in love, and it's really freaking funny and cute and stuff like that. So yeah, really good movie, and the reaction will be, wait, Nicolas Cage can actually act?
If you ever wonder if Nicolas Cage can act, go watch Pig.
Pig or Mandy or the David Lynch film he was in. It's just sad
Don't ever get confused. Nicolas Cage is a good actor. He is a pro. He will give his all to whatever role he's in. And that's why people always love to see him appear in whatever movie he's in.
Yeah. Well, sadly, Nicolas Cage has also kind of fallen into that John Entwistle type of thing where he's once an amazing star of the 70s and 80s. Now he's just making money to pay off his taxes.
Well, that's what the new... this is what... The new Massive Weight of Incredible Talent is. It's.
I got the name right, John Entwistle. Give me a second.
This new one is like, it's just kind of like, joking along with Nick Cage about all the weird stuff he's ever done in his life and why people love him. You know, it's just like, he could have been like a traditional actor, but would you have wanted that? I mean, we wouldn't have gotten things.
John Cusack. I'm an idiot. John Entwistle is the bass player for The Who. Why did I say John Entwistle? John Cusack has fallen into.
Cusack?
Yeah. He's fallen into that sad, I got to do 50 straight to DVD movies for some reason.
There's the difference between Nick Cage and any other people. Nick Cage eventually does pick a good project.
Yeah. Have happier retirement, Bruce Willis. You gave us so much meme potential with your straight-to-DVD movies.
I mean, I'm not going to fault Bruce Willis on that front. I mean, he was trying to provide for his family. I can't fault him for doing all those films.
He was in a Wes Anderson film.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I'm just saying. It's just like, you know, from what he was probably going through, you know, I just wish Bruce Willis a good retirement. I hope he does well. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. That's a movie I want to see. Nick Cage, Northman. Yeah, those are the free stuff. But as for what I've been playing or watching, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last time, but I started watching a show called Reacher. It's a fun action mystery show. Really, like, fun lead character. Not the most amazing show in the world, but it's like 8 episodes, hour each, and they're fun. And you want to say something?
Rest in peace, Gilbert Gottfried. I just finished all of Smiling Friends.
Oh, thank God, yes.
A promise is a promise. A deal's a deal. Quickly, Charlie, get on.
Yeah, it's very fitting that one of his final films was his final roles was portraying God. What a way to go out, the absolute legend.
This will go down in history just like Citizen Kane voicing
Orson Welles voicing Unicron.
Yeah.
I am Unicron.
Where was I? We were talking about Gilbert Gottfried. Smiling Friends.
Reacher.
Reacher is a good one. Action adventure. I don't want to get into too much detail. It's just if you're up for fun action schlock, check that out. I think it's pretty well made. But Smiling Friends, I've recommended a couple of times. I made references to it. Go watch it. It's one of the funniest shows out there. very much looking forward to season two. And yeah, that's
nice.
Yeah, they announced it. And
this time, Pym goes to hell.
Oh no, he goes to heaven and he finds it completely dull. And it's just like, nothing happens here.
Oh, no. Who's going to voice God now that Gilbert Gottfried's dead?
Well, maybe it could be, like, every season it's like God takes on a new appearance or something.
Nice.
Who knows? Who knows what they'll do?
Have God be voiced by... oh, my God. Danny DeVito.
Yeah,
I'm taking out the trash.
And he throws it, like, to hell. But as for the last thing I want to mention, I've recently started playing Dying Light 2.
I don't know that one.
It's a zombie parkour game.
Cool.
It's a fun one. It's a fun little, like, you'll be out at night. You'll be running through the streets at day, and there's, like, zombies everywhere. But they're slow-moving zombies, so you can easily get past them. But when it gets to night... that's when the fast-moving zombies come out, and you gotta, like, outrun them, everything. You gotta stick to the rooftops and everything, make sure you just do all this parkour and never go down to the street. And if you do, be very brief on the street, because then the chases start. And also, to add a bit of fear factor, when it becomes night, not only do the infected come out, but you start becoming, like, sick, and you have a time limit to get to, like, UV lights and everything before... you eventually succumb and become a zombie because you've been bit.
Well, the funniest thing is that you say, like, stay off the streets because you don't want to get overwhelmed by the horde. You ain't a true, what's the video game again?
Red Dead Redemption?
No, not Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, Devil May Cry 2.
Not Devil May Cry 2. What's the game? Like, don't want to stay on the streets, parkour, zombie game.
Dying Light?
Dying Light. You're not a true Dying Light player until you can just stay on the streets and outrun the horde forever. Much like you ain't a true Metroid Dread player until you can basically just bully those, because you can get that timing down. You can just bully them, like, you can't get me.
Or like a Dark Souls boss.
Yeah.
Or any of those kind of Soulsborne games.
Oh, I just watched a video about, like, the biggest idiots who hate Elden Ring, where it's just like...
Actman?
Yeah, the Actman video. Okay. Oh, God. I can understand if you don't like the game because it's too hard. But
don't ever say they're poorly made. Yeah, I think I've heard people say some stuff about
Dark Souls 1 is a bit primitive by today's standards, but Dark Souls 3 and Elden Ring
look Bloodborne.
Fantastic.
Bloodborne's great. And Sekiro is really great as well.
Mm-hmm. Every game is made for everyone, and this is coming from a guy who plays Resident Evil 8 on beginner's mode. I know my place in this world, and I know that I'm not going to be the best Elden Ring player.
I don't like to judge people, you know, like, based on playing. You know, I'd recommend people play games or try and finish games, but when I was hearing, it's just like...
Don't worry. I played it on easy.
I feel like playing on easy alleviates some of the tension when you're playing a horror game.
Or normal or whatever. The point is I cut off beginner. I just basically wanted to know what the story was.
Well, do you have anything else you want to say before heading out?
No.
I'll say that's the show. Where we might, as well as editing the segments a bit, I think Leto and I have decided that we'll be doing a 2-week gap in between shows. We've been like working a bit crazy here, and we're just gonna try and, like, for the sake of maybe mental health reasons, we'll just be going.
Sorry, go ahead.
For the sake of mental health reasons, we'll probably just be taking, like, a break in between. You know, episode 1 week, then we'll take a break, then an episode the following week, then so on and so forth. We'll see how this all goes, and. Until then, I'm sorry, we don't know what's coming next. We didn't really have time to plan for that. So the next episode will probably be just as much a surprise for you as it is for me and Leto. But until then, have a good night, everyone. And we'll see you next week. Or we'll see you next time, I should say. Take care, everyone.
Bye.